I'll have to seal it.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm opening the House Committee on Energy and the Environment for Tuesday, May 12th, 2015. Welcome, everyone. And we're going to start out with a public hearing today on Senate Bill 319A. Beth, do you want to give us a summary of the bill while we have our panel come down?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, members, Senate Bill 319A would require proprietary authorization from the Department of State Lands to construct or operate an ocean renewable energy facility in Oregon's territorial sea. There's a revenue statement that's been issued that's on OLIS and a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay, wonderful. Welcome, Senator Rowland.
It is so great to be in front of Chair Vega-Peterson and the rest of this committee to talk about an issue that's been dear to my heart for a number of years. For the record, Senator Arne Roblin, Senate District 5, Coos Bay to Tillamook, and over to Fall City and Sheridan. When we started working on the Territorial Sea Plan, and before that when we were working on our group of set-asides on the Oregon coast with respect to reserves, one of the issues that we came up with, that was discussed from the very beginning, was how do we have different parts of that nearshore that's a responsibility of the state allocated for different kinds of resources. So in the Territorial Sea Plan, one of the things they put in was renewable energy. So it could be wave energy, it could be wind energy. And so there are a few places that were identified as the places which would have a little less work. There are other places you could do it, but you were going to spend a lot more time getting permits and other kinds of things for renewable energy. In those, there was a kind of an understanding that that's the kind of the best places out there that would have the least conflict. And so we set aside some areas. One of those went away because, as you know, one of the groups was going to work off of Reedsport. And when they left, that was a particular part that was set aside that was contingent on them getting continuing on with that project. But a problem that has been evident to me from the very beginning was how do we as a state have control and regulate and keep control of that industry when it's in the 3 miles away from the federal government, who also likes to have conditions. And so when we originally set up the whole idea of offshore wind and wave and wind energy, we left the what's currently in place, and that was that the Water Resource Agency has the lead authority because they give a water right. Well, if you think about a water right in the ocean, it's different than thinking about a water right in a stream. It's really hard to defend a water right in the ocean because we continue to get more ocean rather than less. And so we tried to figure out where would be the best place to have that connection with regard to the state government and our authority over federal government with respect to regulation and how we go about doing that. In those conversations, the issue that came up that seemed to work was removal fill. So you have a removal fill permit. It gives you the same kind of authority you would have if you were going to get a water right. And who is the agency that does removal fill? That has to do with DSL. So we're standing today in front of you because that seemed to be the logical connection. In the conversations that transpired over the next little while, there was a concern about a lot of projects, especially now, are really about startups trying to figure out if it will work or not work. It's experimentation. It's trying to figure out Oregon State University, their stuff, the NIMREC and other kinds of programs that are happening off of Newport. How long does it take to get a removal fill permit to put something in the water? We found in one place up in the part of where our military base is up on the North Coast, the machinery was in and out of the water before they got the permit. So, I mean, it was kind of like they're just checking it. Figure out a fast track for that. So in this bill, you have authority given to the DSL to regulate, but you also have we're looking at a general permit so that it would allow people who are doing very little. If you know the removal fill on the ground, if you're going to do less than X number of yards, you don't have to do the whole blown thing. This does the same kind of thing with respect to these new projects that are just going to be there for a short period of time or very small amounts of materials going to be moved. It makes the whole issue with regard to this particular area make rational sense rather than getting a water right for our ocean. With that, I encourage you to pass this bill. I think there's been a lot of work and time put into it. I appreciate the governor's office working with us diligently to keep figuring out what would be the best way and how to go about doing that. And so I'll stay for a few questions if you have any, and I'll let my partner give her explanation as well.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair Vega Peterson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Gabriella Goldfarb, a natural resources policy advisor to Governor Kate Brown with ocean and coastal issues in my portfolio. And I am here to testify in support of SB 319, sponsored by Senator Roblin, who gave you an excellent encompassing overview, and I have a few details that I'll also provide, and also sponsored by all of the Coastal Caucus. So over the past couple of years, I convened a group of agencies and their DOJ attorneys, and for the last 6 months, it was just six DOJ attorneys and me in a room on this, so it was a lot of fun. And it was at the request of Senator Roblin to fine-tune our state's setup for authorizing ocean energy development in state waters. And to explain why that was necessary, I'm going to do a little bit of a detour to discuss the federal government's role in ocean energy in state waters. So under federal law, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, has preemptive authority to regulate what they call hydrokinetic energy projects. And quote, that those are projects that generate electricity from waves or directly from the flow of water in ocean currents, tides, or inland waterways. So that's pretty expansive. That locus of federal authority resulted in FERC issuing a ream of preliminary permits to would-be developers of wave energy projects in the mid-2000s. There were a dozen that it was a gold rush in state waters. And a lot of these folks were a couple of folks in a back office. It's a very low bar to apply for a preliminary permit from FERC, but they could effectively for years tie up patches of the ocean by doing that. And so we had to respond quickly, and we settled on the Water Resources Department's authority to issue a water right in the ocean because it gave us the strongest voice. That's how we interact with FERC in the river, in rivers, you know, on land and in rivers. And so in other words, we directly imported, you know, this framework for regulating hydroelectric facilities on rivers and stuck it in the ocean. And it was not a great fit. It makes sense, as Senator Roblin said, that you need to allocate the finite water resources of a river. It doesn't make sense in the ocean to give rights. And what this did is it set us – we did two things. One, we talked to FERC and said – we negotiated an MOU with them that said stop issuing any preliminary permits until the state has a chance to amend its territorial sea plan to address renewable energy, and they agreed. So, and then we launched on a nearly 5-year process to amend that, had over 100 public meetings to do that, and set up policies and also maps to do, as Senator Roblin suggested, identify areas, specific areas where there would be less conflicts if energy project developers wanted to go forward in the territorial sea, and standards for everywhere else. And the other thing that the territorial sea plan did is made clear that the Department of State Lands is the lead agency, which makes sense. In addition to the removal fill authority, DSL is the landlord. DSL manages the state's submerged lands, you know, among other lands. And so in addition to the removal fill permit, they also issue leases, and they can condition those leases. So they were really in the best position to manage this emerging, you know, potential use and the R&D activities that are really where the industry is at right now. So the state completed its amendment of the Territorial Sea Plan in 2013, and we did two things. We submitted it to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and they approved it as a comprehensive plan, which they need to take into account when they do their permitting activity. But more significantly, because it's legally binding, we submitted it to NOAA and got approval for this as part of our federally approved coastal management plan, which means that we have something called federal consistency review authority. And that means that any federal action to approve a project needs to make sure that that project is consistent with the state's policies. In other words, with our territorial sea plan and the policies that we have to protect our resources. So the final step, which is captured in this bill, makes what are for the most part technical changes to the DSL existing authorities to be consistent with the Territorial Sea Plan and how DSL implements its regulatory removal fill authority and that leasing authority as well. And it effectively removes the Water Resources Department and the water right from the process, and it provides that statutory recognition of DSL's role. There are two provisions that I'll mention, as Senator Roblin said. One is actually, I don't know if you touched on this. We eliminate the exemption, the 50 cubic yard exemption for wave energy projects in the territorial sea, and only in the territorial sea. We felt strongly that this is a new industry, and we really need to have a lens on any project that proposes to be sited in the territorial sea. So that would increase the regulatory burden, but recognizing that a lot of these projects, as Senator Roblin mentioned, are experimental, in and out of the water, you know, just testing phase, pilot projects. We also, and that will be the case for the foreseeable future, we also, the bill also directs DSL to evaluate the use of general authorization or general permits to minimize the regulatory burden for this emerging R&D industry that we have in Oregon between OSU's Pacific Marine Energy Center and individual developers, a couple of whom are Oregon companies. We for the foreseeable future can have projects like that going forward, and that really brings research dollars and manufacturing dollars and marine service industry jobs to the coast. So I'll stop there. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the bill. And I also have DSL in the room if you ask any really detailed questions. So I need backup.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Questions for this panel? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify then, so we're talking about DSL's ability to permit pilot and experimental as well as permanent projects, correct?
Correct.
Okay. That helpful.
Representative Reardon.
Simple question, and I asked Jason a little bit, but where is our authority as a state? Is it 3 miles, 12 miles? Because you're going to have some, potentially someday there might be some way offshore projects. How does all of that work?
Well, we have a 3 mile that the DSL has with the relationship, but almost anything that's built that's going to transmit energy to the shore has a cable. It's going to be in that 3 mile.
Right.
Deal. So when it goes back to, we have some control over those kind of things because we've got these issues set up with NOAA and with the FERC. We can be part of the conversation with anything that's going out that's going to come across that particular 3 miles. So I think it gives us the best standing with regard to how we do that. We also have, as many people know, a cable commission that our commercial fishermen and others, so that cables come in at certain places. Mm-hmm. That also is another issue. If you're going to put cables on the ground, you have to make some decisions. One of the big conversations we have with fishermen, if you're going to attach anything to the ocean floor, they work that out and basically have said, if you can cut it off about a meter or so below the sand level, it's going to be out of the way. We don't necessarily need to pull it all up, but we need to make sure that we have the authority to require them to get the stuff back in the condition that it was before they left. And this gives us that in that, clearly in the 3 mile section. I think it gives us some, and as you can ask that, legs to have conversations with FERC and BOEM and all those other people who may want to do stuff out a little farther with regard to how that affects mm-hmm. our 3 miles.
Okay, for now.
Okay. And I can add Chair Vega Peterson, members of the committee, just to add to that, in addition to the direct authority over the cable, which is correct, we also, through this federal authority, consistency authority, any project that's in federal waters that has an impact, that we can show has an impact on resources of our 3 mile territorial sea, those projects also have to be shown to be consistent with our policies that apply to protection of those resources. So we have a lever.
Okay.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just happened to notice when I checked the history that this passed through the Senate 30-0. So everybody likes it.
We can fix that over here.
Right. Well, you can't fix
We've
that.
Killed we killed Senate 30-0 before.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Yes.
Just saying.
Yes. That's very good. Any other question? Oh, Representative Polvey.
Thanks. I would just... When DSL goes through this process, are they required to do environmental impact statements at all on the territorial sea?
Territorial sea plan.
And within the 3 miles?
There. Chair Vega Peterson, Representative Holvey. We don't have environmental impact statements the way the federal government does or some other states do, but under our Goal 19 land use program, DSL needs to, and under the provisions of the Territorial Sea Plan, DSL convenes a joint agency review team that reviews, and ODFW, for example, and state parks and other agencies are members of that. And so they would provide their review, and actually the policies of the Territorial Sea Plan specifically lay out that type of natural resource protection priorities. So there is an environmental review, but it's just not called an EIS.
Thank you.
I just have one question. You said that it, I'm trying to find the section where it removes the criteria or saying that, was it 50 cubic feet are exempted?
Yards.
I think it talks about a general permit.
Oh, a general permit, okay.
I think there is another section. Let me see. I see Chris Castelli with Department of State Lands trying to track down exactly where that is.
Well, it does refer to less than 500, no fee, so. Okay.
And I didn't bring that up, my apologies.
Oh, no, that's okay. Well, in any case, I'm sure somebody will point that out, but in any case, thank you for bringing this forward. I think this is helping to address some of the issues when we're saying we want to move forward with this and the opportunities that there are for Oregon in developing these kinds of energy resources. There's a lot of work that has to be done, you know, the 5-year that it took to put together the Territorial Sea Plan. So I just appreciate that the work that you have on this and setting this up for future projects that Oregon can take part in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I don't think there's anybody else signed up. Okay.
Did you find it?
Yeah. Okay.
What is?
Hi.
Good afternoon, Chair Vega Peterson, Chris Castelli, Department of State Lands. I believe the language you're looking for is in Section 10, removal or fill permit application process. It would be in addition to 196.810, sub 1, sub E, notwithstanding the permit requirements of this section, notwithstanding the provisions of 196.800, sub 3 and 13, and if any removal or fill activity is proposed in Oregon's territorial sea that is related to an ocean energy renewable energy facility as defined in this act, a permit is required.
Okay.
So it removes the 50 cubic yard threshold just for ocean renewable energy projects in the territorial sea.
Okay, thank you so much for that.
No problem.
Okay, anybody else here who'd like to testify on this bill? All right, let's go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 319A, and we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 20. And this has to do with the energy efficiency standards, fairly short bill. Do you want to give us a brief reminder of what this bill is about?
Senate Bill 20 would apply revised energy efficiency standards to televisions and large battery charger systems manufactured on or after January 1, 2014. There are no amendments, no revenue impact, and no fiscal impact.
Okay, excellent.
Chair Vega Peterson, I move Senate Bill 20 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Johnson moves Senate Bill 20 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Weiner.
If you remember when this bill went through last session, I made a very large stink about it. I went out almost on a party line vote. I think Representative Johnson gave it a vote to move it out. It was the only R. This fixes a lot of the things, concerns I had. You have industrial manufacturers. There's products that outlive life of what these are. We can't put everything to a television and everything and realize there's other industries out here. This fix takes into some of those considerations, so I will support it this time going out of the committee.
Nice. Thank you, Representative Widener. Any further discussion? Representative Holby.
Thank you, ma'am, Chair. I too support the bill, and you know, I sometimes I lament a little bit about all the specifics and the measurements and all the numbers that are subject to changing being in statute. And I hope that next time we look at this bill to update it, that we consider
allowing rulemaking to accomplish some of this instead of having all this specific criteria in the statute.
Yes. We have a couple bills that we're looking at right now from the Senate that are really getting into the details of things that are in statute. So I agree with that sentiment. Any further discussion? Okay. Any objection to the bill? Hearing none, the motion passes. And is there anyone who would like to carry this bill? Do you want to carry it?
You should.
All right. Representative Widener carries the bill.
See? I got the letter.
All right.
You can't say I told you so.
Redemption.
Yes.
Actually, Representative Reardon should carry it because I got on him pretty hard about voting for it.
Representative Reardon should carry it.
I don't care. I think. You know, you seem to have a passion for it. So I would
like to.
Would you want to carry it?
Would you like to co-carry it?
Yeah.
Because it was one of those pieces bills that would have made me a criminal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we have Representative Reardon carry it? All right. Yes, that sounds good. And that way you can.
I'm disappointed.
Keep
calling
keep
about
carrying.
The tire. Yeah. Was pretty good.
It doesn't brand you. I will. I'll carry it and say good bill should pass.
Not for
tires
that.
Tires
You want to carry?
Yeah, I'm fine carrying.
People find, we'll find another one for you, Representative Reardon. Okay, we'll do. He spoke up first, or he was volunteered first, I guess I should say. Okay, Representative Widener carrying the bill. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 20 and open a work session on Senate Bill 32. This had to do with the extending the natural gas service area and putting a task force together to work on that. And I believe we have a -3 amendment. So would
my
you
name all over it?
Yeah. So can we go? Would you mind giving us a reminder of the bill and a description of the -3 amendments?
Madam Chair, members, Senate Bill 32 would direct the Public Utility Commission to form a work group to study methods by which natural gas public utilities may expand service to areas that do not currently have access to natural gas. It requires the commission to report to an interim committee by September 15, 2016. The -3 amendment would modify the workgroup membership to include representatives of public utilities that furnish natural gas, other energy suppliers, local governments, and elected officials, stakeholders who have an interest in the study outcome, and individuals with subject matter knowledge. There's no revenue impact. There is a fiscal statement and a request that the bill be referred to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
Okay, so we'll be adding that. Thank you, Beth.
Chair Baker Peterson, I move to adopt the -3 amendments dated 4/24/2015.
All right. Rep. Johnson moves to adopt the -3 amendments dated 4/24/15. Is there any discussion? Is there any?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
From my understanding, I think all the stakeholders are in good agreement that this is a good development moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I just want to thank all of them for working together to allow us to move the bill forward.
Mm-hmm. All right, excellent. And Representative Boone.
Thank you. And I'm really excited about this because I've wanted natural gas or anything like that out of my place for a long time. So make sure you get that out there.
Make sure you pay the bill for that one.
Propane works real well.
Yeah. I know that's what I know.
Any other discussion on moving the -3 amendment? Any objection to moving the -3 amendment? Seeing no objection, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Megan Peterson, I move Senate Bill 32 as amended to the floor of the DuPass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Rep. Johnson moves Senate Bill 32 as amended to the floor with a DuPass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? The only discussion I would have is we're going to have to find another bill for you to carry since this one's going to Ways and Means.
Right?
No, it's going to Ways and Means, so you can talk to them about maybe about carrying it. All right, any further discussion? All right, any objection to the bill? Hearing none, the motion passes. And the bill will be sent to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Close the work session on Senate Bill 32 and open a work session on Senate Bill 249A, having to do with the mitigation things and some changes to their policy. Do you want to give us a reminder of this one, please?
Madam Chair, members, Senate Bill 249A would allow payments for off-site compensatory mitigation credits to the Oregon Removal Fill Mitigation Fund when credits from an approved mitigation bank were not available in the region at the time the first payment was made to the fund, and there are expenses associated with DSL projects in the region that have not been fully recovered by DSL. There are no amendments proposed, no revenue impact, and a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay.
Chair Vega Peterson, I move Senate Bill 249A to the floor to do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Rep. Johnson moves Senate Bill 249A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair, can we have a brief recess real quick so I can talk to my colleagues?
Sure. We will have a brief, we will stand at recess. Okay, we're back in business. All right.
We have a motion on the floor.
Okay, so is there discussion on, again, this is to move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? No? Okay. Do we need to call the roll on this one? No? Okay. So any objection to this? All right. So the motion passes. And I will carry the bill. Oh, did you want to?
Our caucus, we chose Rep. Reardon as the carrier.
That's what we recessed.
We took a recess for Rep. Reardon.
So we had that discussion actually during recess as well. Yeah. And somehow he did not want to carry
this. That was the whole purpose
bill.
Of the recess.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do what the committee wishes.
We'll find one for you. I'll go ahead and carry this.
Madam Chair, we need to recess again.
If that's it,
we will not stand to adjourn. So I'll go ahead and carry the bill. So
okay.
With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 249A. Committee, excellent work. And we even had a break. So I think we're all good. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close the meeting of the House Energy and Environment Committee. I know. We're going to have a very short meeting.
It's Tuesday.
We're going to have a very